Hi there. You are now listening to a sermon from Calvary City Church. We hope that this message blesses you, encourages you, and speaks to you. May God always reveal His goodness, mercy, and love to you. Enjoy the message.
You know, today, a Monday, there's going to be an announcement. And we don't know what the announcement is going to be. There's been a lot of speculations that this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But we thank God that Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You know, the only way we can overcome fear. Now, together with the pandemic, there's another principality that's raging. And those online, we want to welcome you too. I didn't forget you, of course. Okay. And you know what? And this is called the principality of fear. The principality of fear. Now, people are so fearful. People are so fearful. There's been a lot of rumors about to take or not to take this vaccine. A lot of rumors. And sadly, some of these rumors are spread by Christians. Okay? Now, so much of fear, right? So much of fear. The only way we can overcome fear is the only way of overcoming fear is not just through deliverance, is not just through claiming the promises of God. The only way we can overcome the fear of God, as the fear of man, is to have the fear of God. That's the only way. The antidote for the fear of man is the fear of God. And Jesus said in Matthew 10 verse 27 right up to 31, Jesus said, do not fear the one who will destroy your soul in hell, but fear the one that has given you life. That's the fear of God. And the fear of God is getting connected to the loving kindness of God. Can somebody say amen, please? That's the fear of God. Isn't that wonderful? And I just felt that I need to share this with you. Now, this Sunday, yesterday, and today, this is Mission Sunday. Mission Sunday. Unlike all other missions week, we will not be taking a pledge. Sit back and listen to the message. I'm going to preach on giving. Now, giving is a powerful discipline of God in many aspects of our life. Now, and so the last pledge we took, not the written pledge, a commitment of our heart, the last one we took was from July to December. Now, this was during the MCO. I remember preaching 6 months ago, and we asked for 300,000. And without a pledge, we collected more, almost, this is not the final figure. There are people who will still give. We have collected almost 250,000 ringgit. Let's put our hands together. Give Jesus a glory. What a giving church this is. Calvary City Church is a giving church. And I say the church, I'm not talking about the registration. I'm not talking about the institution. I'm talking about the you. Praise God. Isn't God good? Can somebody say amen, please? Now, please, turn with me to your Bibles right now. To Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 33 right up to 34, right? Now, after the service, we still encourage you to observe the SOP. Now, I want you to go, maintain your distance, and if you are wanting to give offerings, please put your offerings in the boxes that are almost your height up there, out there, and then please don't stay back for fellowship. That's bad, right? Okay, don't stay back for fellowship. Please quickly get to your car and go home. And Charlton, can you wear your mask, please, Charlton? That's right. When you wear your mask, you have minimal risk. Okay, I know some of you are hyper-faith, but doesn't matter. You know, you can practice your faith somewhere else, but please protect our environment. Thank you. Thank you for cooperation, please. Matthew, the 6th chapter, we're going to read from verses 33 right up to 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are these things? Your daily necessity. that will work your hope and your future. All these things. Go back and read Matthew, the 6th chapter. You know this is about the food to eat, the house to stay, your necessity, your future, your home. And all this will be added, not given. Will not be given to you, but it will be added to you. Say added to you. When you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Are you here with me? I often tell the orang aslis in Bahasa Malaysia, kalau kamu cari berkat, beban akan cari kamu. That means if you go after blessings, burden will come after you. But when you, apabila kamu cari Tuhan, berkat akan cari kamu. Whenever, if you ever chase God, seek God, the blessings of God will come after you. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And then it goes on to say in the next verse, therefore, do not worry. Those watching online, therefore, do not worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Today, we're worried about tomorrow. The famine of finance, the famine of job, the famine of opportunity. But Jesus says, who do we believe? Do we believe our circumstances or Jesus? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has got its own things to worry about. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Come on. Let your heart not be troubled. Turn to your neighbor and say, let not your heart be troubled. That's right. I entitle this short message for the next couple of minutes, one of the dynamic aspect of the kingdom of God. One of the dynamic aspects of the kingdom of God is the ministry of giving. Say ministry of giving. Now, let not our mind be so narrow when I talk about giving. Now, giving is not just about your finances. Giving governs the entire aspect of our walk with Jesus. We love one another. We pray for one another. We meet one another's need. We're committed to God. We're dedicated to God. Now, giving covers a wider scope of a disciple. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Now, today is Mission Sunday. Therefore, the aspect of giving I will talk about is to give your finance and give yourself for the work of God. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And Jesus said about this ministry of giving, Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 3 and 4, Matthew 6, verse 3 and 4, Jesus said, but when you do a charitable deed, say charitable deed. You cannot do a charitable deed without giving, right or wrong? Come on, without taking the extra step of faith. Now, recently, we had to rescue the Rohingyas. We're going to show you some footage later. We had to rescue these Rohingyas, you know, because their houses were flooding. And they were all living in a low-lying area. So we had to quickly rescue them because the river was swelling. And we were rescuing them. And, you know, the greatest act in rescuing them is not just relief work. The greatest act of relieving them or relocating them is the act of love and compassion. Because the government said, even if they get submerged, drowned in the flood, they are not supposed to go to this Dewan Sarbanika. Sarbaguna, sorry. That means they are not supposed to go to the Dewan Balai Raya, is it? That's only for Malaysians. That's quite cruel, right? And they will not allow them. So, Pastor Boy, who is a man of compassion, he lives in a secluded area. He lives in a gated and guarded property where all the mostly the rich people would stay. It has got grounds. It's a town apartment. It's a beautiful place. And you know what he did? You know, he braved the security and took how many families? How many families, Pastor Boy? Show your fingers. 17 people. And located them in those apartments. And of course, the management called the police. And the police came with M16. And asked what you're doing, you know. Now, that's an act of charity. Charity begins at home. Come on, somebody say amen, please. We have to relocate them. Now, when you do a charitable deed, Jesus said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? Every charitable act that's done, whether it's giving or showing love or showing compassion secretly, God blesses us openly. It's like, blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. Matthew the chapter 5 and verse 6. And Jesus said about giving, any form of giving. In Luke the 6th chapter verse 38, Jesus said this. This involves any kind of giving. Okay? You give your love. You know, when I give my love to my children, they love me back. That's what you sow, you reap, right? It goes on to say, here is this. Give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? So we are not nervous about giving to God. Whether it comes to finance or whether it comes to our commitment, we are not nervous about giving to God. Can somebody say amen, please? Now, before I go to the purpose of this message, I'd like to share with you a testimony and two short videos concerning TA, Transformation Alliance, those at Computer, Transformation Alliance, and Pusat Kebajikan Calvary. Okay. After that, when I finish the message, I'd like to share with you another two video that's on the Rohingyas and the Orang Asli. Is that okay with you? Now, I'd like to share with you a testimony. The least attractive homes among our homes, we have about 26 of them right now, are the care centers. The care centers are centers for rehabilitation of drug programmers. We don't want to call them drug addicts. It's least attractive to the community. You know, people who come, they want to give to the children's home. They want to give to the shelter home. They want to give to the Grace home. They rather give to the autistic school. Why? Because the society just don't like them. Seriously, you know, we've been in this ministry for so many years. The giving among the other homes are much more higher than the giving to the centers. We have almost 10 of them, you know. Now, society don't accept them. Even if they go to the center, the society looks at them as hopeless. Are you here with me now? That's our experience. But friends, for us who are doing this ministry, social work is not a ministry, but social work is a family. For people like Pastor Boy, myself, and all those who are involved. Now, we have, this is not to boast, we have a love for these guys. We choose to see Jesus, even though sometimes we behave like Satan. We choose to see Jesus in them, you know. And you know what? They can see it. They can really see it. You know, when you give love, in return you get what? Love. I always say this. If you don't love me, it doesn't matter. I love you. If you don't accept me, it doesn't matter. I accept you. And if you don't care for me, I don't care. I care for you. You see, what you sow is what's going to happen. There's the same principle in the husband and wife relationship, same principle in children and parents relationship. You cannot be a selfish, self-centered child and expect your parents to love you. That's not going to happen. Can somebody say amen, please? You know, it's a two-way thing. When you sow love, you will reap love. So these boys, they know from their heart, they love us. Those at home, those in the other homes too. The other day, my wife and I went to BestSmart. I used to go there to buy bird seeds. I feed birds, you know. I don't know why they come. And also fertilizers. And I'm doing some little gardening. And you know what? Suddenly, as we were walking towards the car, somebody shouted, Pastor Rajan! Huh? I turned back. I mean, that was, even church members will not do that, no? Yeah, try to avoid pastor, let him go. We don't want another sermon from him. But inevitably, the person who is excited seeing us are people who have grown in the home. And this is a teenage girl who has grown up and left the home, and she's living her life, and she's so excited to see both of us. Do you know? Now, what we have done, nothing. We're not supervisors of the home, but we love them. Are you here with me? You know, if you're starving for love, don't look for love. Start showing love. Come on, somebody say amen, please. If you're starving for acceptance, now, look at this. Don't die in your rejection. Show acceptance to somebody. Come on, somebody say amen, please. When you go to a restaurant, if you see a cat, greet the cat. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. Don't live in your rejection. And you know what? I'm coming back to the care center. You know, I went with the home coordinator. I went with the home coordinator to go and visit the home, you know. And I was parking the car. I was still in the car. The home coordinator, those days, home coordinator got down. And somehow, work-related, they had a misunderstanding. They had a misunderstanding. And as I got down to the car, there was a heated argument. The guy, assistant supervisor, did not see me. You know, I was coming at the back. As soon as, and I was wondering what the shouting is going on. You know, as soon as I stepped in and that guy looked at me, he just cried. You won't believe, he just cried. And he said, Pastor, I'm sorry, in Bahasa Malaysia. Pastor, say sorry, Pastor. Kalau you tada, saya sudah mati. The center boys always say this, no? Kalau Pastor tada, yeah, Pastor Boy tada, kita sudah lama sudah mati. Sudah ada di Kong Kong, Masa King Kong, or Kang Kong, you know? And you know what? That's love. I did not open my mouth to find out what's going on, but that guy saw me, and then he said, sorry, and the problems just solved like that. Are you here with me? That's how powerful giving is. Come on, somebody say amen, please. We are called to give. Before I get to the purpose of the message, could we have this two video and somebody just off the slide and let's watch, please. Pusat Kebajikan Calvary, as well as this is where your giving has gone. This is our in Pasikudang. The building you're seeing is our brand new old folks home. Brand new old folks home. And all our old folks are in a resort right now next to the sea. When you get old, maybe you want to go there too. See, they're enjoying. Look at that. They don't have teeth, but they enjoy the food. There's one of the helpers. We only take often old folks. We don't take old folks who have got parents. Oh, sorry, children. I'm sorry. This is not often. This is duck. This is our duck farm. This is pineapple. This is like a work therapy. We have bought almost 19 hectare land there. This is our boys' home. All these boys, they look so harmless, but very naughty guys, okay? Don't judge them by the color. And look at the naughty fellows, all these things. This is a teenage home. We have two. One is in Kankapulai. This is in Kankapulai. The other one is in Pasikudang. This is Pasikudang. Where are these boys from? Some are from broken families. Some are families don't want them. This is the new care center. We just started specially for the East Timor. This is one of the old folks, the oldest guy. Thank you for your support. Let's hang in there. This is our foreign missions. We are in about probably 11 countries. And God has been good to us. Myanmar relief work, I think. We do have a children's ministry, some churches there. We just got a land last year, about a year ago. We're building a complex for them, school. We have 100, this is Timor Leste. That's our land. We have built a building there. We are there. This is called Baucau, one of the districts, the second largest district. We are also, this is Nepal, I think. Yeah, this is Nepal. Suddenly everything changing. Oh, this is Delhi, the largest city in East Timor. Sorry. This is Venilale, one of the sub-districts. It is South India, Prambalur, Bangalore. The church is all decorated, huh? This is Prambalur. We built a building there. It's because of your giving. This is Pondicherry, and upcoming, that's Pastor Sundaraj, upcoming city in the Philippines. Nepal, we have a huge ministry in Nepal. Bintang Mercy Home, which Pumas Jaya is supporting. TA is supporting, sorry. TA. Water Project, this is our missions hub, Banipa. This guy was here before, he is the leading pastor there. This is Sarawak, a kindergarten. This is Sabah. We have two kindergartens in Sabah right now. One is, we're also running a hostel and a kindergarten. This is Tadika Karunia, that's right. Ranau, I think. Thank you for your giving. Can I have the lights back, please? Come on, let's give Jesus a glory. Hallelujah. Even though there was a famine of finance, and the finance of the church really did good. Seriously. You know, really did good. And thank you for your giving. And let me get back to the message. And after that, Ding will come. And she will give you the account for the 250,000 that we have spent for the last 6 months. And today we are not taking a pledge. It is your heart. You decide what you want to give. Now, what's the purpose of this short message? We talked about giving. What is the purpose of this message? God's plan, look at this. God's plan for your giving is a purposeful giving. Everybody say purposeful giving. Now, how many of you are feeling cold? Can you just wave your hand to me? Okay, can we just get some icon off, please? Guys at the back. I see some of you folding your arms like this. We are like in a snow country. Okay, that's right. If it's warm, then you have to bear with it, okay? Okay. Now, God's plan for our giving is purposeful giving. Say purposeful giving. Not careless giving. Purposeful giving is an intentional giving. Say intentional giving. Everybody say intentional giving. Okay? Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Why? I intentionally love someone with the intention that I may have that person love me back. Right? Intention. The giving is also the same. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. Paul says this. So let each one give as he purpose in the heart. Say purpose in the heart. Purpose in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Come on. If you're a careless giver, if you're not an intentional giver, and your giving will not bring forth cheerfulness in your heart. Your giving will not bring forth the full love of God. God loves a cheerful giver. Say cheerful giver. Come on. Let me illustrate this purposeful giving with a story. Could you please turn with me or look at the screen at 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verse 11 through 13. Now, this is a story about a widow and the prophet Elijah. There was a massive famine and drought in the country, but God commanded a widow in Zarephath to supply the need of the prophet. Why did God do that? Because God wanted to heal the famine of the widow, not so much to feed Elijah. He could have got the ravens to feed Elijah. Many of you know the story. And here, God intentionally wants to heal the famine of this widow because she was in a very critical position. Let's read. In 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verse 11 through 13, and as she was going to get it, you know what? Elijah told her, get me a glass of water. Even though God commanded the widow to give, she was so soaked and blinded by God's command because of a famine. You know, and a mission. What is the mission? Let's see. So, and she's going to get me a cup of water. She goes, and Elijah then calls to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Not just a cup of water, but bring a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, lest Elijah misunderstand her that she's lying, she uses the name of the Lord, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I do not have bread. I don't have the facility. I don't have the capacity to bake bread and keep on the shelf. I don't have enough. And then she says this, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin. A handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in the jar. That's all I have. That's all. That's why I don't have the privilege of making bread and putting on the shelf. And she goes on to say this, and I'm here. And then she says, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die. That we may eat and die. Look, she's in a suicide missions. She's in a suicide missions. And she said, we're going to eat and we're going to just sleep and go to death. You know, and then Elijah says this, come on, that's a wrong thing. And Elijah says this, he said, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. Now look at the intentions kicking in. Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make a small cake. Elijah didn't say a cake. He said a small cake, a purposeful asking results in a purposeful giving. Can somebody say amen, please? Come on, somebody shout amen, please. And it says here, do not fear. Go and do as I've said. Make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now, I'll tell you the results in a short while. Now, two dynamic purpose of purposeful giving. Two dynamic purpose of purposeful giving. Number one, a purposeful giving is done out of obedience. Come on, somebody say amen, please. You go and make a small cake for me. Elijah represents God, and the widow and the son represents the church. Are you here with me? Elijah's need symbolizes the need that would be among the poor, those in the missions. And she said, go. He said, go and make a small cake for me. And then she obeys. She doesn't turn back and tell him, no, I can't do that. If I make a small cake for you, my son will eat and I will not eat. I will die first and my son will die later. And I don't want that to happen. I want my son and myself to die together. Sometimes husband and wife will love their wives too much. And they always say this, let's pray that God we will die together. But it doesn't happen. You know, it doesn't happen. My children used to say this, let's pray Jesus will come, all can go to heaven. We don't want to be separated. Are you here with me? You know, friends, so purposeful giving is done out of obedience. Assuming you go back and you pray and the Lord tells you this is the amount you would give and then you give, that's obedience. What happens when your obedience kicks in your life? Come on. What happens? You know, friends, obedience among the family of God is a rare commodity. Seriously. Many of us like to disobey God, like to disobey, seriously. You know, friends, but when you major, look at this, when you, as a child of God, when you major in obedience, you know what's going to happen? You abound in the blessings of God. Come on, put your hands together. Give Jesus the glory. When you major in obedience, when you major in obedience to God, you will abound in the blessings of God. That's what Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33 says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His heartbeat is my heartbeat. His plan is my plan. His agenda is my agenda. Come on. What is close to God's heart is close to my heart. What is God's will is my will. Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. When you major in obedience, you abound in the blessings of God. Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. Obedience is not easy. While she was going, this lady, while she was going to bake that small cake, there were a lot of questions running in her heart. If I bake that small cake, what's going to happen? One of us going to be hungry. One of us are going to be left without our meal. A lot of questions, questions of disobedience, questions that would conflict the obedience to God. But nevertheless, she overcame those questions and she made a small cake for Elijah. I'll tell you what happens after that. Let's look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. This obedience is not only in giving, in every aspect of our lives. Come on. Come on. Somebody say amen, please. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, disobedience is likened unto witchcraft. What is witchcraft? To manipulate, to intimidate, to humiliate, and to dominate by our own desires. Are you here with me? Come on, somebody shout amen, please. Now let's look at the obedience. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently, say diligently, not callously, not half-heartedly, diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. You know, friends, obedience makes you the head and not the tail. Come on. Obedience makes you above and not beneath. And all the blessings, blessing for your children, blessing for your future, blessing in your workplace, blessing in your studies, all this blessing, all those watching from home shall come upon you. It's like, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All this will be added to you, upon you. Same word. Everybody say same word. Upon you and overtake you. Come on, say overtake you. You know, when obedience begins to kick in any aspect of your life, God deals with all your needs, and the needs will not come back and meet you again. Glory to God. Come on, somebody say amen, please. And overtake you because you obey the words of the Lord your God. Isn't that wonderful? My time is coming. You know, Ding, you get ready. Worship team, you need to also get ready. Number two things about purposeful giving. Number two, purposeful giving is done out of willing obedience. Everybody say willing obedience. Are you here with me? This is a story about a little boy who was making noise in an Anglican church, you know, with the pew. We don't have pew, so I must use the Anglican church with due respect. All the Anglicans, you don't become a pelican, please. And you know what? And this boy was standing up and running around, and the choir was singing, and the preacher is about to go and preach. And the father got so upset with him and looked at him and said, John, sit down. John sat down. His hands were folded. And he was staring at the father and staring at the preacher who was going to go up. Actually, physically he's sitting, but spiritually he's standing up. That's unwilling obedience. Like Jonah, you have to go and preach. He said, I got no choice. I have to go and preach. I don't like them. You know? Now, but God doesn't like unwilling obedience. God wants willing obedience. You know, it says here, purposeful giving is done out of willing obedience. Come on, everybody say willing obedience. All my life as a pastor and my wife as a pastor, we don't just preach about giving, but we give and we are not nervous about our giving because we're not dealing with some business or multi-level selling where you're scared to invest and your money will go down the drain or Bank Negara will put a freeze on it. But you're talking about the bank of heaven. You know, really, you don't need to be nervous in giving to God. I tell you, what you give, it'll come back in many different fold. Come on, somebody say amen, please. Now, Isaiah 119, can we have it on the screen, please? If you're willing, everybody say willing. Willing, say willing. That means didapaksa. Okay, willing. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the what? Not the fruit of the land, the good of the land. Hallelujah. All the rotten papaya will go somewhere else. Good papaya will come to you. The good of the land. Come on. Somebody shout amen, please. Isn't that wonderful? What happens? I close with this. What happens when you purposefully give to God? The amount is not the matter. The ministry of giving, Romans the 12th chapter, verse 8, Paul says this, he who gives, let him give with liberality. Your generosity may not be my generosity. My generosity may not be your generosity. Are you here with me? It's an attitude of your heart that you practice in your giving of love and commitment and dedication, your service, your talent, your skill, your devotion, everything. Come on, somebody say amen, please. That's why the body of Christ can be effective if people realize it is volunteerism that keeps the body of Christ intact. Can somebody say amen, please? That's giving. Remember, Isaiah said, who will go for? God said in Isaiah the 6th chapter verse 8, who will go for me? And Isaiah thought a few times, went home and did all his research and came back and said, here am I, send me. He didn't do that. Immediately he responded, Tuhan, utuskan saya ada di sini. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen, please? Worship him. Can you come up, please? Donna Summers, can you come? Bring your team and come. Donna Summers. The result of willing obedience. We go back to the story, and I'm closing right now. My time is coming. Thank God nobody's showing board at the back. 1 Kings 17 was 15 and 16. So she went away. We don't know what state she was in. She went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She didn't modify. She didn't add to it. And she, look at this. I like this. Come on, everybody listen to this. God is a generous God. And it says, and she, everybody say she. Those online say she. And it says, and she, and he, and her. She, it says here, she, and he, and her household. Look at that. There were two of them, and they were on a suicide mission. God, you're so good. Get ready with the chorus. You know, friends, before Dean comes, you know, and there were two of them, and when God is added to the two, they become the majority in the provision. Come on, somebody, give Jesus the glory. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. And it says, ate for many days. Jerry, many days. The famine was 3 years and 6 months. Many days. Many days. And they put on weight because God provided. Many days. It's supposed to be just one meal. But God multiplied and gave them many more meals because she decided, I'll be purposeful in giving to God. We'll not be overzealous, but we're purposeful. And it goes on to say, the bin of the flowers not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry. Wow. Hope this will happen to us in the petrol tank. The meter stays there. Some of you won't trust. You go and take the mechanic. The mechanic says, "Apa ka bodo? You've the petrol tank full." You know, friends, then the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which Elijah spoke. Hallelujah. Come on. The equivalent promise to this purposeful giving and the oil of Job and the flour not running down is found in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And this is what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, that you may have an abundance for every good work. Hallelujah. Stand with me.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons like these, check out our website, calvary.com.my. We hope you have a blessed week ahead.